This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
That video of that plane flipping over is wild.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see.
It's crazy to watch, oh, here comes a plane going into land, and whoop, there it goes, right over the top, in a blaze. A little intimidating if you're somebody who might be trying to get in an airplane sometime soon. I wonder how much that's affecting your thoughts on travel. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's 207. We appreciate you being with us on 97.1 FM Talk. A reminder, you can stream us on the Odyssey app as well. AUDACY. Find 97.1. Find the Annie Fry Show. Take us with you anywhere you go. And also streaming live on the YouTube, Annie Fry YouTube channel, which is where we're asking you in the live chat poll on the YouTube broadcast, what's the deal with all the plane crashes? Accidents, negligence, malfeasance, or I just threw in there because I had an extra option, just blame it on Trump and Musk.
I don't think I'm going to do that last one.
Really? Just kind of put it in there for you.
No, that's not me. I don't think you know me very well. I am actually leaning toward just the first one. I don't think there's really more to it than just accidents. Plane accidents happen a lot. I tried looking up numbers, but I couldn't find anything as recent as 2014 or 2024 and 25, so I couldn't really report on that.
Swalwell put out a tweet that's like the most accident plane crashes ever in the first month of a presidency. And then I saw he was quickly corrected. It was like, actually, Biden had more.
Of course.
So I don't know. There's still time.
I'm on accidents right now until I see otherwise.
Does it affect your, do you have any flights scheduled soon?
I do. Yeah, next month.
Does it bother you? Are you kind of, is there any part of you that's going, okay?
No, it doesn't bother me. You can tell that it bothers people though. Right after the Boeing door flew off last year, I had a flight within a few weeks after that. And normally, I think it might have been Southwest because it was open seating, so it must have been. Nobody would sit in that exit row. Nobody would sit in that exit row. So I chose to because you get more leg room. But I think there is something affecting the psyche of people when they see these things because they're making decisions like that.
Where do you avoid sitting if the flight lands upside down?
I'm going to say you probably... Just make sure your seatbelt works and that's it. There's nothing to, you can't do anything.
It's unreal that nobody died.
It's unreal that nobody apparently got really seriously injured. Of the 21 people that went to the hospital, I think they've sent 19 home already.
They said in that press conference earlier this morning that there are no life-threatening injuries.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It is incredible. Brad, what about you? What's the deal with all these plane crashes?
Well, I think I'm going to go a step further. I think it's negligence. I've noticed across several different industries and all sorts of stuff like that, that there just seems to be this overall attitude amongst employees that are like, I just don't care. I don't care. That's good enough. It's good enough for me. That'll be good enough for whatever. And I think that you can fall into that negligence mindset if that's the atmosphere that's been created in the industry that you work in. And you know, you say, it's good enough. And as long as nothing happens, good enough is good enough. And, you get lazy and you overlook things. And for it to happen this consistently, and it's the, you know, I think that it's a negligence thing. I think that people aren't actually following the standards that have been set forth for inspections and all of that other stuff, and we're missing stuff.
Is if this slew of accidents is has any correlation with DEI initiatives, do you put that in negligence or malfeasance?
Ooh, man, that's tough. I'd put it in negligence as far as the people on the ground, you know, the people doing the work, but the people...
Kamala Harris.
No, not those people.
It's kind of what we're talking about.
Those people I actually would put in malfeasance.
Uh-huh.
Because they are deliberately undermining... I hate to even use the buzzword because everybody's using it, but merit of being hired for a job because you deserve that job. And it's so unfortunate to have to talk about these things because nobody wants to inject race into that conversation except the left. This is where they thrive, is injecting race into conversations that it shouldn't be a part of. And so we're at that point now where you have to ask that question. Did this person get the job because they deserve the job, or did they get the job because they check a box for the left?
And it's unfortunate for the people that got the job that would also, A, they're qualified for
that
it.
That were qualified for it, right.
That, but also check that box for the left, that now they get the question surrounding them. It's like, well, why did you get the job?
You've undermined those people.
That's not fair to them.
Exactly.
And I'm with Ryan. I would put that DEI hiring under malfeasance. I think that if you are ignoring the abilities of the people and you're actually just making sure that the number one quality is the color of their skin or their gender or their sexual preference, and you're not looking at their abilities, I think that's awful, especially if you're turning away more qualified applicants because they don't fit your needs in that area. That's malfeasance.
What's the opposite of DEI?
Obviously, IED. This joke was already made, therefore it is not that great.
Are you talking about my post?
Yes.
I put this on X over the weekend because it's just, if you're watching the left react to all the DEI initiatives being pulled out, if to them, when DEI goes away, racism just swoops in.
Mm-hmm. That was the only thing holding it back.
DEI
was right at the door.
If you listen to them, I mean, if you really break it down to like, what are the points that we're making here? What is the argument that you have for DEI being an important implementation into whatever the field it is? And there are people who are saying, without DEI, only white men will do everything. I personally don't believe that's true.
She's waving at the camera, folks.
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 Folksy.
It's FOAKS.
Folks.
Yeah, if you have to say it that way.
Folks.
What? So, I mean, yes, IED, I get it. But what is the opposite of DEI?
I think it's just allowing... It's taking your hand, this is the bigger picture, it's taking your thumb off the marketplace. It's not trying to inject anything, DEI being one thing, but also, you know, trying to push equality of outcome instead of just allowing the marketplace to exist. And this applies to so many things. It applies to electric vehicle mandates and so many other areas than just DEI. It's taking your hand out of the marketplace and allowing it to self-regulate. And that usually ends up the best you can get. It doesn't mean it's perfect. It means that it ends up about as good as you can get it.
It's pure meritocracy. You know, may the best person win. Your DEI diversity means you're focusing on, you know, race or sexual preference or gender or whatever. Equity means you're trying to force outcomes. And then you go back to inclusivity. You want to make sure that everybody's included regardless of their ability to do whatever it is to do. And so whenever you take the opposite of that, it's just, I want to know who's the best at this, and I need that person on my team, on my job, doing the job that I need them to do. And it doesn't matter what their race is, what their gender is, what their sexual orientation is. It doesn't matter if they have the same outcome as little Billy who wants to be included but can't do the job. It's pure meritocracy.
You know, you see the loudest part of what is on the face of the Democratic Party right now is the far left progressives. They're the ones, you know, they're like screeching into the night. And DEI is a big part of it. Everything, I mean, all of the racism cards that you can be played, all the Nazi cards that can be played, the assertion that the Republican Party is just for the white man is really, the more they push, a bigger losing issue. I think they're hurting their cause by being, you know, screechy is the word that I just used, but by pushing back against the likes of a Doge in the way that they're doing it. I think that they are better advocates for the Donald Trump way of doing it than even the results that Donald Trump is putting up on the board.
Yeah, and it's so offensive to, if you are of any minority at all, other than white guy, if you're anything else, a lot more, and more people than ever voted for Donald Trump this time.
More and black people.
Yeah.
More young people.
More women.
Just, I mean, in so many different categories, people are like, you're just not, this far, far left progressive thing is not working for us.
Uh-huh. And so he grew with every single minority that you could possibly parse out. And yet there are still people that want to scream. Now, this is just the patriarchy again. And it falls more and more on deaf ears the more time that goes by. And you're right. That does benefit Donald Trump because it makes the argument for him without him ever even saying
it. If you look at it, I mean, they scream and scream and scream about the patriarchy and all that other stuff. Oh, the Republican Party is the party of white men. And then you start looking at the cabinet of Donald Trump. You know, that's a diverse cabinet. And it isn't because they set out to make it diverse. They went out for the best people for the job. You ended up with Pam Bondi as AG. Cash Patel is probably going to get confirmed as FBI director. I can't think of her name. The Labor Department secretary is both a Hispanic and a woman. And, you know, you've got all this different diversity out there. So the left is out there screaming, this would be the party of the old white men. And then everybody that's watching what's going on is looking and they're seeing the exact opposite. It's playing out like this across the board for the left. Everything that they say is happening. People are looking and watching and paying attention. They're like, no, it's not. And that's what's killing them.
I think with the YouTube poll, what's the deal with all the plane crashes, that there, to me, if it's accidents, negligence, malfeasance, or Trump and Musk's fault, there are some people who are listening who just really felt great clicking that button. And I want you to keep coming back and clicking the buttons on my stuff. It's accidents until we have some sort of factual evidence that suggests otherwise. I don't really care. I care only in the sense that in order to solve a problem, you have to identify the problem. Donald Trump comes in and shakes everything up, is trying to pull the waste out so that we can be a much more functioning government for the people. And everyone is looking for any sort of catastrophe that they can point to and say, see, Trump did that. You can't look at some of these things that are taking place right now. If your sole purpose after a plane crash is to be like, was this Trump's fault or was this Biden's fault? I'm sorry, but that's kind of a crap place to be. That's not. It's okay, for conversation or whatever, but it doesn't solve anything. If you feel like you got to put a point on the board because you proved that something was Biden's fault, or you proved that something was Trump's fault, okay, you got a point. Then what? I think we'll find out if there were qualified people who were overlooked because they didn't look the right way, that didn't get those jobs. If there were unqualified people who did get a job because they looked a certain way, I think we'll find that out. But more importantly, I think people want efficient systems, fair compensation, and the ability to work for something that they believe in. And I don't really feel like government work has been set up for those things. And we need to live in a country where the private sector is set up to be able to focus on companies who want to look to their employees and say, we appreciate you, we want you here, and we're going to give you the best package available to keep the best people here. I think there's a whole mindset behind the earned dollar that is so lost in this, socialism dabbling that we've been doing, this entitlement mindset that we've been in. Everybody's a victim. You're trying to figure out all the different victim boxes that you can check so that at the end of all of that, you can get whatever that qualifies you for. That's absurd, and it's un-American. How do we get ourselves back to the place where earning the dollar is the honorable and desirable thing to do so that you can earn that, turn that dollar into $10, into $100, and so on and so forth? And I kind of feel like that's the opposite of DEI, which is you have to ask yourself, what's the best possible way we can provide this service? What's the best possible way we can create this product and sell this product and attract the absolute best possible people to make us meet that end goal? And when you attract the people who are the best for those equations, that's how you get an America first capitalistic society that works for the most people. And people will be like, oh, there's going to be people left out by that. Are they choosing to be left out? Because I want to go back to the place where if you're choosing to not participate in the system, you do get left out, but it's by your choice, not my choice. Are there people who are living in a set of circumstances that maybe they were born into, or just a really unfortunate string of circumstances that have them really down on their luck, that as a society we can come together and help them? Absolutely. Let's help our neighbors. And a reminder, it doesn't have to always go through government in order for those people to gain that help. We're so upside down in our mentality of how we fund our own lives to be able to acquire the things and do the things that we want. The government has successfully shifted the public mentality into basically the amount of money that they let you keep. Elon Musk has taken a wrecking ball to that because Donald Trump put him in a position to do that. And I think all of these things start coming together. I'm on this poll, what's the deal with the plane crashes? I am hopeful. I am hopeful that they are accidents. And that we can look at the areas where the breakdown is and quickly move into rectifying those problems. But we'll see. We want to know what you think. Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote in the live chat poll. Quick break. More Annie Fry show right around the corner. Don't go away.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I got something. You got something. Who goes first? You or me?
You.
Me.
You. Because I didn't have my mic on.
Shame.
That means by default, you get to go.
You go first.
All right. What do you know about MAGA makeup?
I don't.
You've never heard of it?
No.
I've never heard of it, but I thought maybe this is something that...
Wasn't this a trend that was going on?
This is a trend. It's
all right, Brad, tell us about MAGA makeup.
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Well, what I understand about it is that some left-wing influencers got on there and they're doing their makeup tutorials, and then as a dig at Republican women, they were doing tutorials on how to do Republican makeup, but I don't know exactly what the...
I don't really understand the point of the dig, because Republican women are out like contributing to society and not watching influencers tell them how to do their makeup. They're grown women. They already know how to do that.
Well, isn't there a whole thing about like, oh man, Republican women are so attractive? Is this like a pushback against that?
Maybe.
Because what this is a satirical TikTok trend that content creators are mocking the makeup of Republican-leaning women, which I would assume that meant that there was a look to Republican makeup, but I don't know if that's what they're saying, but that's what I would naturally think.
That's what they're saying.
But what it says is that they define Republican...
If you start to describe my face right now, I don't know if I'm going to be flattered.
Somebody who had longer hair, cut it a little shorter. They say...
How's my hair right now? Would you say like a zero?
No, I'd give it higher than that.
0.5.
A higher than that.
You cut 3 inches off my hair. You know that,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Confirmed.
For those of you listening, confirmed who can't see his face, he was super satisfied with himself when he said that.
I think it looks good, though.
It does.
I'll tell you that. That's the truth, that it looks good. And that I contributed to that. Okay.
Let's talk about your face.
No, I don't want to. Republican makeup is defined as cakey, orange foundation, which sounds like you're getting into satirical territory here, and too thick eyebrows and clumpy mascara. Now,
dude, the left doesn't even wear makeup.
I thought that this just sounded like makeup. The orange foundation thing to me, that sounds like a Trump thing. But the rest of it, I'm like, is that a real thing or is this just... intended to caricaturize
people.
Doesn't
Trump look less orange these days?
Yes, a little.
And he came
Actually,
back with
I never
white
even
hair.
Thought about
it's
it.
It's like
but
Gandalf
yes.
the White. Better and
That's
stronger.
That's true. I haven't thought about that, but you're right.
He's forged.
He looks less spray tanned.
He looks more mystical.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of The Hobbit, we'll play the Frank Luntz here in a minute.
Says, I noticed that all the Republican girlies in my comments do their makeup the exact same gorgeous way, so I thought that I would try to do it myself, TikToker and comedian Suzanne Lambert said, sarcastically.
She's hilarious.
Yeah, she's got jokes.
Funny looking.
To achieve conservative girl makeup, she made sure to apply foundation with her fingers to create a streaky finish and did not prep the skin beforehand, because she wanted the product to cling to any dry spots and accentuate any texture. This isn't realistic. That's my question. This isn't something that they're actually saying conservative women do a thing like this. They're just making something new up, right? That's where I wanted to go. I wanted to ask that question of you because I don't do makeup.
You said earlier that there is a stereotype that conservative women are more attractive than liberal women.
Yes.
If we're talking about caricatures, I think that at least I'm intentionally trying not to be like low blow mean here.
Okay.
So I'm putting that out there. I hope it comes, whatever. I feel like if you want people to know the moment you walk into a room that you are a raging feminist liberal, those women do that with their appearance. Mm-hmm. You can.
It's intentionally grabbing your attention.
I'm trying to say, I think it's what they're going for.
Yeah.
I'm not like putting that upon them, I don't think. I think that there are things that people will do to their appearance so that when you meet them, you are assuming that they are feminist or super progressive for whatever particular reason. I don't know that that exists for Republicans. Although I will tell you that as a female talk radio show host on a Fox News radio affiliate station, I do not get a dime from Fox News. They do not pay me. I don't even know if they know me. But the amount of times that I have, now this is radio, so you might not know what I look like, but I will tell you that I'm gray. I think on the camera I look maybe blonder than my hair. My hair might be a little more gray in real life. I'm blonde. I have blue eyes. I don't know what else there is to say about how I look. But the insults that I get on X about my looks, because they see that I'm on 97.1 or it's a Fox News radio affiliate, the association that I get with the Fox News brand of females and the implication that everything about me is fake, I do not color my hair. I just cut my hair for the first time in close to a year because Ryan cut it first. I've got zero Botox. I've had nothing done and I probably should start. Some of the trolls out there have said the meanest things to me because of the way I look and the connection of that to the Fox brand, which I can only assume is like a blonde bimbo thing. And the implication that I'm super stupid. So there is some sort of connection between physical appearance and politics. But I when I'm looking at like who's trying to on the surface put out their politics and make that enter the room before any word you speak enters the room, I feel like the left is doing that an awful lot more. And the things that you would criticize Republican women, like, to me, if you're insulting me because you're saying I look like a Fox News girl, I don't find that particularly insulting. It's not the most insulting thing you could say to me. Now, of course, they think that that insinuates that I'm a dumb bimbo, to use their words. I just think that, like, on the surface, if you're boiling everything down to physical appearance and the people who are trying to use their appearance to make sure their politics are the first things you assume about them, I don't think that there is a way that the right does it. The left certainly can.
It's just funny because if somebody walks into the room, and I'm not even going to describe what this is. I'm not sure you described what this is. But the minute you said it, we all had it what was in our heads. That if a person walks into the room and they want you to know that they are leading with leftist politics, they have a look. We didn't say what it was, but you have an image in your mind. That image is intentionally, A, attention-grabbing, and B, intended to be, I'm so different. And they look exactly alike.
Well,
which is weird because you're trying to look different.
Let me take it a step farther than what you just did. I think that it's intentionally unattractive. I think that they do that for a reason, and that's to show that they...
Some sort of patriarchy.
Yeah, they're not under the control of men. They're not trying to get men's attention. They don't need no man, that sort of thing. I think that they intentionally make themselves unattractive for that purpose, and that might be where some of the malice toward the quote-unquote Fox News girl look comes from, because they will look at somebody like Annie, who's trying to make themselves attractive, and go, hey, you're doing that to please men, and that isn't feminist. And so they get mad about it.
I'm also not doing it to please men. I just like the way my face looks better when I do this to my face than the natural downtrodden 40-year-old. Like you, Ryan.
The natural state of, you know.
Gosh, Annie, you look tired. Are you okay?
Going across the country in a Conestoga wagon.
I don't get it.
It's like pre-makeup.
You ever watch a show long enough that's like an old-timey show? It could be a new production of like old-timey stuff. And the women who are on that show, you know, air quotes, are not wearing makeup. They look natural. They're wearing makeup to look natural.
Yeah.
But it's preferable, in my opinion, over certainly the overdone thing. You know, I don't even know. If you look at Hollywood right now, you would assume everything Hollywood is leftist. The eyelash situation that this country is facing, the overdone lips and fillers and stuff, there is like a brand of female out there right now that they all are starting to kind of look the same because they've all had the same stuff overdone. Do you find that? Do you know what I'm talking about? And do you find it attractive or unattractive when these things are done to the extent that they're being done? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't like if I look at somebody and I think, and I'm not trying to think this, but instant thought is, I don't think that's you. And that could be a lot of different things. But if the first thing I think is, I'm not sure.
Those aren't your eyelashes.
That's real, whether it's eyelashes or anything else, that to me is instantly, whatever you're trying didn't work, because my natural reaction was, what's going on?
So I agree with you that the enhancements that one does to themselves, and I'm not opposed to anybody, like I've said this before, if you want to get work done, get work done. It's your life. It's you. You do you. But shouldn't the goal, I guess everybody can have their own goals, but like my goal would always be to the closest version of my best looking self. Not what I would look like if I just attached a bunch of things to me that weren't mine and
flare.
Face flare. 10 pieces of flare.
I would think that probably is the goal for everybody doing it. They just aren't able to get there.
Do you notice overfilled lips?
Oh, yeah.
I don't notice much.
Like, I know. That's why I'm asking you, because if you notice it, it's a statement.
I notice that something's different, and I usually can't put my finger on it.
Brad, you can?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, overfilled lips is popular. I don't know what they call the stuff, the injections above the eyebrows.
Botox.
Botox. They get that a lot. And I know what you're talking about because it seems like every girl is trying to look like a Kardashian. They just try to get themselves into that. And
but
so
the Kardashians don't even look like the Kardashians.
No. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I forget what whatever the youngest one's name is. You see a picture of her before she had work done and afterwards, and she doesn't look like the same person. But it instead of, like Annie said, trying to get the best version of you, it's like, I like these lips, and these lips are what I want. So they're just trying to get that sort of look installed on their face. And it doesn't work for me.
I just think it's going to, in 20 years, people are going to look back and be like, what were we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, couldn't we tell?
Yeah, and the problem is those people will look the exact same.
They'll be smiling really big. quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about this New York Post article. An angry bride struggles through vows as guest lets baby cry during an adults-only ceremony. It's a lot of nuance to this story, and we'll comb through it here when we come back and get the results of the YouTube live chat poll. What's the deal? What's the deal? You do it. With all these.
Who are the ad wizards that came up with that one?
Plane crashes, accidents, negligence, malfeasance, or heck, it's just Trump and Musk's fault. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Sorry, I had a coughing fit there a little bit. Before we go back on the air, I didn't anticipate that happening. So there was an ex conversation that was taking place. Matt Walsh doing Matt Walsh things, which is just like barging into the room and saying the most direct and obvious response to some sensitive situation, but just taking away any platitude and getting straight to the point, as Matt Walsh is apt to do. The New York Post had a story. An angry Texas bride had to struggle through her wedding vows after a disrespectful guest allowed his baby to bawl nonstop during her adults-only ceremony, as seen in a TikTok video with 3 million views. The crying baby definitely distracted me and left me feeling disrespected. It was supposed to be an adults-only ceremony. So we have a couple of things here. Can you recall, your kids are older, I have a 3-year-old, so I'm a little closer to this than you are. Your youngest is six?
Seven.
Seven. Do you ever remember being in a public place where the kid just wouldn't stop crying? You had twins, too, so that would be even...
I think we just went out less because we had twins. So I don't remember us being in a situation... If we are in a situation where we think we could be bothering anybody, we just leave. Whatever we just do. I don't know if that's always the right move, but we err on the side of caution. And we did. I don't haven't had any more, but back then we did.
Your child is should not be a distraction to some sort of public event like that.
Church.
I mean, the only event that your child should be permitted to, like, scream and cry through, it's like their baptism where they have to be there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another thing
You know, even in stores and stuff, we just wouldn't put up with it.
Yeah. You just, it's like it is your problem, but it doesn't need to be everyone else's problem. So to have a child in a wedding ceremony, even making a peep, like don't even give them crinkly bags to open and hold. Yes.
Don't give anybody crinkly bags.
I can so that's what I'm going to give you. The next time we go somewhere really important, I'm just going to give you like the most crinkly bag full of your favorite snacks and see you try
like,
to
hey, crinkly bag.
Navigate that situation.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah, I might think about that twice. Matt Walsh tweets, excluding children from a wedding is ridiculous and self-centered. It's incredibly bizarre to invite someone to your big celebration, but specifically tell them that their children aren't invited. Also, if your baby is crying during the ceremony, you need to take them out. Both of these things are true. Agree or disagree?
I disagree. Especially if they delineated ahead of time, this is adults only, you went against the rules of the ceremony and decided to make it about yourself. And look, if you can't go because you can't take you can't find a babysitter, then you can't go. That's okay. Nobody's going to fault you for that. But you chose to come anyway and grace everybody with your presence and then also ruin it for everybody.
Do you think that adult-only weddings are, I think there's like destination weddings. That's a different situation.
Yeah.
So let's set that aside. But if you're having, is there a closeness to the family, to the bride or the groom, where you think it's wrong for them to exclude kids?
Yeah, I think for the most part, it's wrong is not the word I would use. It is not preferable to have an event like that and say no kids allowed. But when they do, you got to honor that.
I feel like if my children have a direct blood relationship with the bride or the groom, plus a relationship where my kids know your name and you know my kid's name and you have like a story or stories together. So I'm talking family and relationship, because those things aren't the same. I think it's good to include the kids. But if I'm being invited to a wedding and they don't even know my kids, like a coworker or something like that, I don't know why it would be like children should be included in this if they're part of your family at all.
Yeah. If it's not somebody that close to you, there's no way I'm bringing my kids. If the kids... That's exactly what you just defined. If the kids know the people getting married and they know them very well, that would be a situation to bring them.
Do you think that if it's a, like, what if it's your aunt or uncle that's getting married? So if you have a sibling, do you think that they should have the right to tell you that your children are not allowed to come to the wedding? If it's their wedding,
if it's
should
your
they
wedding,
have that right?
You have the right to put whatever parameters you want on it. This is your wedding. I don't have to like it, but that's your rules. It's
do you
your
have
event.
An if they exclude your children from going, do you have the right to just not go? If it's your sibling?
If you can't figure out how to make it happen, yeah. They put that parameter up. If you can't figure out how to operate within it, then you don't have to go.
I think there's an interesting culture thing that's taking place around this conversation. And I would say, first and foremost, that the bride and groom get to have the say in who they want to include in their event. And every guest has a say in whether or not they choose to attend under the parameters set forth by the bride and the groom. I've seen some crazy stories. I kind of feel like bridezillas are out now. I don't feel like people are doing that as much as they used to. Maybe they are. I just don't know those people anymore. But if they want to set some whack circumstances and expectations for the people who they invite, I totally think you have the right to do that. And I totally have the right to go, not interested. I'm going to stay at home in my PJs and watch The Avengers or something instead. And I think that when it comes to your kids, you have that opportunity as well. It can be very expensive to go to a wedding. If you have to pay for a babysitter, that becomes very expensive as well. So if you want to ask me to come but leave my kids at home, if I can't facilitate it, maybe if I like you, I'll send a gift and that'll be done. What do you think, Brad?
I think it's a wedding invitation, not a wedding summons. So everybody has the right to be like, nah, I can't make it for whatever reason, for any reason or for no reason. I also think it's weird that people make all these weird demands and harsh demands whenever, to me, a wedding is a celebration and you're wanting people to come and take part in it and it's not a performance. So yeah, I think that people have the right to set it up however they want and people have the right to not go if they don't want to go, if they don't like the setup or for whatever reason.
Culturally, I wish we would get back to creating more experiences that included families.
Mm-hmm.
If when I advocate for one thing, I can hear the other side pushing back and I'm like, oh, but I kind of agree with that too. Kids are going to be kids. I can only do so much with Molly. She's three. She's, I think, a well-behaved three-year-old, but she can turn into a brat in an instant. And when that happens, I have to parent her and remove her from the situation. My older kids, they're very well-behaved and they can handle circumstances that require you to sit still. I think going to church is one of the best ways to teach kids how to be quiet, for the record. And I hope you find a church that doesn't look at your children wrong when they do act like kids. But when you eliminate kids from weddings, like, it's just those types of things where I wish kids were more included in that, because I want them to see these things. I want them to understand the establishment of the new family unit. I want them to see the people who would, and potentially if it's a family situation, be coming into their family, and that those relationships, like a family community relationship, would become more prioritized, and having everything have to be picture Pinterest perfect all of the time wouldn't be the ultimate priority.
I don't know if the days of the stodgy old church still exists somewhere. I've never been to one since I was a little kid, and maybe it was because I was a kid that I felt like it was stodgy. But man, we've gone so far the other way that we need people in churches sometimes to just set up parameters. People are so loath to discipline kids even nicely that I this is a completely different conversation, but you just kicked it off in my head, that we need people who are actually willing to enforce rules with kids, like you said, because that is a good place for kids to learn that stuff.
They need to learn it. They need to be permitted the space to learn it, and parents need to be there to instill the responsibility that needs to be... That needs to happen, because it's really hard when you're going through trying to keep your kid quiet. But if you just remove them all of the time from church, then they'll just learn that if I throw a fit, I can go play in the room where the toys are. And if your kid's not a dummy, they're going to figure that out real fast. We'll talk more about that throughout the course of the week. It's an interesting conversation. YouTube live chat poll. What's the deal with all the plane crashes? Ryan, your response to this poll?
It is accidents.
Brad?
I think it's negligence.
I'm hopeful accidents. That's a weird thing to say. Leaning potentially negligence. 5% of 245 votes think it's just Trump and Musk's fault. That one was for you
5%.
Guys. Thank you for showing up and voting today, you 5%ers. I appreciate you. 6% say malfeasance. 38% say negligence. And 51% say the plane crashes are accidents. On the hands and knees, praying to God that these are not going to continue and that we will get ahead of it and keep them from happening again, and thanking God that nobody died in this last one. Thank you for being here with us. The Mark Reardon Show is going to continue right here on 97.1 FM Talk and on your Odyssey app coming up next.